Well, howdy. Last week, Pastor Gary was teaching, and he read in Luke 23, verse 26, and it starts talking about the crucifixion of Christ. It talks about how he was beat, how the crown of thorns was twisted and put on his head. And I just want to read a part of it. It says, when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him with the criminals on the right and the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Jesus Christ was beat for us. He was beat so that we would be saved. That's just earth-shattering to me. That our Savior, creator of this universe, would come and take my sin, would come and would take the wrong that I've done onto himself. Not to be arrogant and prideful, but so that I could actually be with him, so that I could have a relationship with him. He did it because he loved me. And so, as I was listening, this song actually came into my head, and I just couldn't get out of my head. I remember I went up to Miss K after service, and I said, did that song not just pop into your head? And so I learned to play it, and just I hope it ministers to you the same way it ministers to me. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our sins. Punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed.
He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds we are healed. We are healed by your sacrifice and the life that you gave. Healed, for you paid the price. By your grace we are saved, we are saved. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our sins. Punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds we are healed. We are healed by your sacrifice and the life that you gave. We are healed, for you paid the price. By your grace we are saved, we are saved. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our sins. Punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds we are healed. By his wounds, what can one wash away my sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Those old hymns don't get tiresome, do they? Amen. It's a wonderful, wonderful truth. John chapter 3, if you'll turn your Bibles with me. John chapter 3. We've been going through a mini-series on Wednesday night dealing with the truth. And what's interesting is that really this person asking this question really kind of started the process, as well as a number of others were asking some of the same things. And so I'm just going to read the question to you and hopefully give you a short answer. But if you want the long answer, you need to come on Wednesday night. And there's a longer answer, a series of things. The question is, why do we believe what we believe? What do we say to this? What do we say to other people when they ask us this? Good question. Why do we believe what we believe? Why do we believe in Jesus Christ? Why do we believe in the Bible? Why do we believe the things that we believe? The short of this is because it's true. What the Bible says is that there are people that like to believe a lie. So there are going to be people that believe truth, and there are going to be people that believe a lie. Why do we believe differently? Because you want to believe a lie, and I want to believe a truth. I mean, that's the short of it. What Scripture reveals to us is that if you'll just take time and ask yourself certain truth-seeking questions, you will come to Christ too. If, in fact, you're genuinely looking for the truth, you'll find Christ. More specifically, He'll find you. His light will shine forth so brightly, it'll be so recognizable, you just cannot miss Him. And that's the point of John chapter 3. Because what Jesus begins to say to Nicodemus is that the one thing that holds man back from seeing who I am is that he loves his sin. The one thing that holds them back. And quite frankly, if you read in Scripture certain basic truths, they're irrefutable. For instance, let's just go something real, real basic. Nobody's perfect. I don't know where there's a debate on that. I agree with that statement. I even hear the world say, well, nobody's perfect. I mean, they'll say it at a convenient time. If you were to ask them, are you a pretty good person? They'll say, oh, yeah, I'm pretty good. But just ask them this question. Are you perfect? If they take a moment to think about it, then we know that they're wrestling with certain sin. If they just say, you know what? Nobody's perfect. Absolutely right. Nobody's perfect. Well, that's what the Bible says. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, or fall short of the perfection of God. So, what are you doing? You're admitting the truth. So the reason that I'm drawn to Scripture is because it's true. Every word of God is true. I look at creation, and I'm pretty sure I had nothing to do with it. I mean, it was here and intact before I came into being. And so I believe that there is someone far greater than me that created these things. And when I look at creation, I have to come to the conclusion that He must have love for me. As you see how grand and glorious things are. So all the way through Scripture, there's truth. So why do I believe the things? Because everything I read is true. And we come to John chapter 3, and the great declaration of the great truth is, for God so loved the world. Now, I realize that I'm not perfect. And I realize there is such a thing, because God has placed it in my heart. This thing called conscience, as Romans chapter 2 says. I have this sense of right and wrong and understand what that is. And I know that because I'm not perfect, there is a sense of guilt oftentimes in my life, a sense of a looming judgment that I know that I'm going to have to face. I can't perhaps describe it, perhaps I don't know that, but I just feel not right. That's truth. I mean, let's just admit it. That's the way we feel. Well, if we ignore it, will it go away? No. It doesn't go away. The psalmist says, I kept silent about my sin and my body wasted away. So the truth of the matter is I can't seem to fix this thing. And I can't seem, no matter how hard I try, to get myself perfect. I just can't seem to do it. So what is the only logical conclusion? I need help. I mean, does it take a brain surgeon to figure this one out? I need someone to rescue me. This is why we come to a Savior, Jesus Christ. So everything about Scripture makes sense. For God so loved the world that He sent His Son for you, for me, that we should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves me. Well, some people just have a hard time believing that. Who are they? Well, verse 20 reads this way. Everyone who does evil hates the light, doesn't want to hear it. Why? Well, they like their sin. They don't want people telling them they're doing wrong. Everyone who does evil hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his deed should be exposed. Who then will understand the truth? The person who seeks the truth, whoever they may be. But the one who practices the truth, look at the word there. We talked about this last Wednesday. That's a person who celebrates the truth. That's a person who prepares himself for the truth. As we were talking about the disciples in chapter 1, they had been preparing themselves for the truth. They had gravitated towards this guy by the name of John the Baptist, who's way out in the middle of nowhere, and he's not taking bribes from anybody. And if you want the truth from somebody, go to somebody that doesn't have anything to win or anything to lose. And he just goes, I'm going to tell you the truth. Aren't you afraid that I'm not going to support you? No, I don't care. I eat locusts and wild honey. I don't care what you say. That's the kind of person he goes. So they go to this John the Baptist, and he says, it's not me, it's him. Now, who are they going to believe? All those Pharisees that are trying to, they're seeking the truth, and they're pointing to the truth, and the truth is so evident to them as they go, and Andrew says, we have found the Messiah. We found him. Now, the truth of the matter is there's nobody like Jesus. You can do your studies. That's fine with me. I mean, to me, people say, well, I'm going to study. Do it. I hope you do. Because the more you study, the more you see that there's absolutely nobody like Jesus. Is there anybody that you could ever say that walked the face of the earth that was perfect in every way? So the truth of the matter is, I'm going to bank on him. Because he's the perfect one. And he's the one that loves me. And he's the one that died for my sin. And by the way, he's the one that rose from the dead. Is there anyone that has ever come close to Jesus? Now, why do I believe in Jesus? Well, he who practices the truth, he who seeks for the truth, prepares himself for the truth, longs for the truth, what's going to happen? He's going to come to the light. What? To reveal that the deeds, this work that he's been going through, this labor, this life that he's been going through, of all this hard, laborious life that he's had to struggle through, has brought him to the point of saying, you know what? These things are not true, but this is. Has made it clear to him. And God says, and I just want to make this clear to you. I brought you through these difficulties so that you would see this. So John 3 is really revealing to us, if you're really seeking the truth, and oftentimes it's through the difficulties and the work of struggles that you go through in life, as you begin to see that all men are liars, and you begin to see that nothing, you cannot depend on anything, is that very work that God has been wrought in you to bring you to a point of turning only to the one true one. And he becomes so crystal clear as you begin to put your hope in. I mean, if you're genuinely seeking, you'll find him. So why do we believe what we believe? Because it's true. It's true. Father, we give you thanks for your truth. We just embrace it. It's so obvious. There's nobody like you. And we need help. That's just so evident. So we come to one who is perfect to fix us, one who is powerful enough to raise us from the dead. It only makes sense to the person who is looking for truth. I give you thanks in Jesus' name.